Turn to 2 Kings chapter 1. 2 Kings chapter 1, we appreciate you giving. I know sometimes it's, you know, you're not able to do it, and but then a lot of times we are. And I was thinking about a lot of the money, we end up throwing away on things that aren't going to last. But I tell you, a soul, is going to last forever somewhere. That's an internal investment right there. And sure, we sure appreciate that. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 1. And the Bible says there, then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said to them, go inquire of Baalzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. Actually, it wasn't a disease. It looks like it was an injury. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say unto them, Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that ye go to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. And when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, why are ye now turned back? And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us and said unto us, go turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? Therefore, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, he was a hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on top of a hill. And he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again also he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And he sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron, it is not because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word. Therefore, thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. So he died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. You know, I got to reading this and the other day, and just in my daily devotions, I was kind of reading along in the Bible, and I got to this point right here. And I was looking at that text, and I said, man, you know, that's pretty harsh, you know, text, man. I mean, fire came down and consumed this captain of 50s that the king sent, burned them all up, and then he sends 51 more, the captain and his 50, and, you know, burned them up. And I thought, man, that's a powerful demonstration of God's power. And I got to thinking, you know, in the day that we live in today, particularly, it may seem in a lot of people's eyes like a very harsh or maybe even a too harsh of an action, just seemed, like for what was going on there. And I said, you know, there's more to this than meets the eye. I said, there's just a little bit more here that's going on. And so, I started studying those scriptures and I meditated upon, you know, the things I was reading there in the Bible. And, I saw some things in here, and I think it'll make it, you know, clear it up for us just a little bit. The very first thought by way of introduction I want to give to you today is this, is that God judges sin. I mean, you know, that God judges sin. And I know that today, that's not a popular topic, that in the world we're living in today, you know, judgment, condemned, I guess would say, sometimes by people saying, well, we would be judgmental. And you know, perhaps as human beings, maybe we shouldn't be too judgmental on folks. But listen, I want you to know something, that God does and God will judge sin. You know, God can judge sin. God's allowed to judge sin. He's able to judge sin. That's what He'll do. This event here, in context and chronological order of things, took place about 10 years after Elijah had been on Mount Carmel with the 850 prophets of Baal. You remember that? When they had the false prophets, they were in idol worship, and he said, "Will you cry out to your gods?" And they had put a bullock on the altar and soaked it down with water, and he said, "You cry out to your gods." Well, actually, hadn't soaked it down with water until Elijah got ready to work. But nothing happened, of course. And he called out to God, and God consumed all the altar and the rocks and everything. And then they slew those 850 prophets of Baal. That was a pretty powerful demonstration of God's power as well, right? But you know what happened after that? Of course, Ahab was king then. Ahaziah is Ahab's son. He's on the throne now. They didn't repent of their idol worship. They didn't repent of idolatry. After seeing the powerlessness of those false gods and the powerfulness of the true God, they still didn't repent of idolatry. Now, you know, we're thinking in our day, you're thinking, man, you know, it's hard to believe, isn't it? That they would look at the one true God and see what He could do, and that they would keep on worshiping idols of stone and wood and silver and gold that couldn't do a thing. But you know, where it applies to us today is to say, you know, we say there's God Almighty, that there's a judgment day coming, and that there's a heaven, there's a hell, and that, you know, we're going to be accountable and we're going to stand before God, and we keep on living in sin. You know, what's the difference? What's the difference there? I want you to understand that God, you know, God judges sin. After Ahab died, his son reigned in his stead, and they were still rejecting God. And, you know, somebody made this statement here: when God isn't allowed to rule, He overrules. And Ahaziah fell through this lattice. I was reading here, said it was of a disease. I was thinking it wasn't so much of a disease as when you fall through a lattice. I don't know how far he fell, but he fell a long way in his upper chamber, it said, and he was injured seriously. You got to think, you know, was it an accident, or was the hand of God at play here, you know, along the way, which we know the hand of God is working there. And he sends these messengers. He goes, go up and to this Baalzebub, this god of Ekron. Ekron was where the central worship was, I think, for this god. And find out, he said, find out if I'm going to recover of you know, what my injuries, what's happened to me. And you know, the point here as well is when you reject God, when you reject the one true God, the only other thing that's left, in a sense, is false gods or the world, you know, the world that we live in, or man, you know, putting your faith in man. That's all that's left. There's no other place to inquire. You know, the world, the gods of the world, people turn to things like astrologers and psychics and, you know, drugs, alcohol, just a number of things that people might turn to. That's all that's left. And the ironic thing was, Beelzebub, this false god, was supposed to have healing powers. But if you'll note, Ahaziah didn't ask to be healed. He just asked if he was going to get better. That's all he wanted to know. Was he going to live, in other words? Which makes me wonder, this is just me thinking about this, I wondered if way down inside that he really knew that this false god didn't have any power to heal him. Although I don't know why he would inquire whether the false god knew anything or not about whether he was going to heal or not. I just wondered about that, why he didn't ask for that. But, you know, like I said, I think by now we see the nation's gotten away from God. And I'll show you one other point later, how far away from God they had gotten. They weren't turned to God. They were worshiping false gods. And by now, you know, God's had about enough of it. I mean, there's a day of grace where God lets us slide a little bit. And then God says, I'm gonna deal with you. And he dealt with Ahab, and Ahaziah had some time, and he said, I'm going to deal with you too. And God always judges sin, and God always gets to a point where he's going to deal with our sin, even in this life and ultimately at the end of this life as well. And I want to look just 3 points on how God does that. The very first thing that God does is he confronts sin. He confronts sin. You know, as the messengers of Ahaziah are departing to go to Ekron to find out what's going to be the story, or he hopes he's going to find out, it says, the angel of the Lord appeared to Elijah. Usually in the Bible, if it says the angel of the Lord, that's a pre-incarnate. Most Bible scholars believe it's a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. It didn't say an angel of the Lord or a angel of the Lord. It said the, which usually is a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ himself. And he appears to Elijah there and tells him, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to these messengers and give them a message that are on the way down there. Now, another little side point about that is this, is that, listen, when we're trusting God, like Elijah was, God keeps his servants informed about matters that other people know nothing about. Nobody else, now a lot of other people don't know about it. And you know, when we're walking with God, we can be confident about the direction that we're going. You know, I was talking, you know, last week I had a whole list. I still got it laying up here, the list of phobias that are in the world. People are afraid. People are living in fear. And you know, to that point, why most of the world is living in fear of something? Because they're not walking with the Lord. Huh? If I wasn't walking with the Lord, I tell you what, I'd be afraid too of everything under the sun. You know, when you can be confident when you're walking with the Lord and you know, you can be confident about the direction that you're going in. You can be confident about what you're doing. You can be confident about who you're going to speak to. You can be confident about what you're going to say. We were in the hospital the other day and Sherry and I had gone down there. We'd been up there all day. We went there at 4 in the morning, then we drove all the way back home at like 6 in the morning, then we drove all the way back down there at 11 o'clock in the morning, and we were there all the rest of the day. And then the supper time came around, and we went down to the cafeteria, and we were standing there trying to figure out what we were going to eat. And I noticed this lady was standing over there, and this lady looked like she was just going to break down. I mean, she had this sad look on her face, and her eyes were like looked like they were tearing up, and she was standing there by herself, and she was looking at the thing, and it's kind of like everywhere we moved, she moved. You know, sign from God, this is it. You know, if you're looking for a sign from God, this, everywhere we went. And I had to go to the restroom, and I was going out of there, and I hadn't spoken to her. And I could just, you know, God was just saying, look, say something to this lady. I said, all right, you know, so throw the old fleece out. I'm going to go to the bathroom, and when I come back, if she's still standing there, I'm going to go up and say something. I come back, and she's still standing there. You know, God says, this is it. You know, but this is it. So I saw her and almost got distracted. She was whipping her cell phone out to do something on it. And I said, I got in there real fast. I said, ma'am, I said, are you all right? She said, yeah. She goes, I'm sorry. She said, I'm sorry. She said, I wear all my emotions on my face. She said, my husband's having a surgery. And she goes, I'm actually expecting a child. After I told her later, she told me, said we had a grandbaby, you know, just delivered. She says, I'm expecting a child. I'm all emotional. I'm sorry. I saw you there. I said, you looked like you were distressed. And I said, you know, I just felt like I needed to say something to you. And I said, I'm a pastor. And she asked where I pastored, and I told her. And I said, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for your husband. You know, when you're walking with God, God directs you. God guides you. God leads. See, Ahaziah wouldn't have had to send somebody off to some false god that can't do a cotton-picking thing to find out if he was going to recover from his sickness. And I tell you what, I believe if he had repented and turned to God, I think he would have recovered from his sickness. As a matter of fact, if he had been following God, he probably wouldn't have fell through the lattice to start with, because I think that was God's wake-up call. And the fact that God didn't kill him when he hit the ground and gave him some more time was just a picture of the grace of God that he had. You know, listen, I mean, what does God have to do to get your attention? Huh? I mean, what does God have to do? Does God have to give you a death sentence so that you'll come down to the altar and pray to God? Well, does God have to give you a death sentence so that you'll cry out to his name? You know, with a lot of people, yeah, that's what he's got to do. And I've seen it over the years, man. People get some bad report from the doctor's office. They finally show up at church. Huh? They come down to the altar. Hadn't been down there in so long, their knees didn't even work when they got down there. Get down to the altar and they pray and then they go back. And then what? They find out a good report and guess what happens? Huh? Out the door. Don't see them again. Listen, man, what does God have to do to get our attention? And, you know, to see how far Israel had slipped, I said I'd give you a little point on that. None of those messengers that were going recognized Elijah. Probably one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament, all-time prophets. I mean, 10 years before, he had gone up against 850 prophets of Baal and called down fire from heaven and burned up a whole altar and they killed all the prophets. After that, you would have thought, you know, he would have been like, even in a land that hated God and God's way, that he would have had a wanted poster on the wall everywhere and everybody would have knew who it was. But man, they had got so far from God, they didn't even recognize him. Ahaziah knew. He said, what did he look like? And they told him how he was dressed, his appearance. He said, it's Elijah Tishbite. That's who it is. Man of God, prophet. He said, that's who it is. He knew, but the rest of the nation, didn't know. You know, and you know, what a contrast. You know, God and his prophet had been ruled out of the king's court so that the king's messengers didn't know who he was or what he looked like. Ooh. Move up to the whatever century we're living in. Huh? Hey, we ruled God out of our courts. Huh? We've done ruled God out of our courts and we've ruled God out of our governments. And you know what? It's getting to the point that, yeah, guess what? A lot of the people in the world today, a lot of people in America today don't know God's prophet, God's word, God's man, don't know who Jesus is, what he looks like. They don't know anything about God because the same thing that was going on. Could use this on the 4th of July, I guess. Just remember it. Just remember it. And so Elijah meets him on the way and he gives him the message that God said. And they go back to King and they say, guess what, King? This is what this guy said. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. And he asked him, he said, well, what's he look like? And he describes him and he says he knows who he is. And this is what happened. God had confronted sin by his word. He said, thus saith the Lord. He had confronted sin by his man, Elijah the prophet. And he confronted sin by his man speaking God's word. That's how he confronted sin. It's not an accident that, as I said, that Ahaziah didn't die instantly. Because I said this, I think, last week or something. You know, when you hear the word of God and there's conviction, and the reason that, and if you're in sin or haven't trusted God and you're not dead, the reason is because that it's the grace of God. Amen. That God's given you an opportunity. You know, in other words, when God, thus saith the Lord, and it's a warning to you, that means that there's an opportunity here for you to repent. There's an opportunity, and Ahaziah had that opportunity to repent. It's just the grace of God. So number one, you know, God confronts sin. And the second thing is God condemns sin. You know, Elijah asked him this question. He said, how come you sending messengers to Ekron, to Beelzebub and Ekron? How come you doing that when there is a God in Israel, a true God? And there's plays on the spelling, capital words, letters, and that. He said, how come you're sending to this false god in Ekron when there is a true God in Israel? That's his sin. His sin was this. It was rejecting God. Narrow it all down. It's rejecting God. What sends people to hell? Rejecting God. I mean, there's nothing left. There's nothing left. It's just rejecting God. And he turned to idols or anything else you turn to. And we see in the following text, there's kind of different responses to the word of God. You know, when the 51 men, they went up there, the first 51, 50, and the one is their captain, the first 51 went up, and they went up to Elijah. He's sitting on top of a hill, kind of a visual picture of where he was sitting when he took care of the prophets 10 years before. And you know why he sent those messages, said, I'm sending 50 of you. I want you to go get this guy forcibly and bring him back here to the palace. And it probably wasn't to have a picnic with him as well. They called him man of God. Those 51 called him man of God. Man of God was a common term for a prophet, a real prophet. You know a real prophet is this. The Bible even gives you a definition of a real prophet. A real prophet is this, is that when they prophesied, the prophecy comes true. Some Yankee told me yesterday morning that it wasn't going to rain at all yesterday. So me and Sherry rode the motorcycle down there to the ball game, and guess what? Huh? You know, I got soaking wet going away from there on my motorcycle. So is that a false prophet or a true prophet? that is a false prophet, right? A true prophet. They called him, oh man of God. They called him. So they were admitting, they were saying that this is a prophet of God. But they didn't submit to, you know, what he had to say. They knew what he was. They knew what he did. They knew that he gave out the word of God. But instead of confronting their sin, and instead of Ahaziah confronting his sin, they condemned the man of God. They condemned the prophet. They said, you know, this is what God said. And he's telling the truth. He's a man of God. He's God's prophet. He's telling the truth. They said, well, listen, you go down there and get that guy, and we're going to lock this guy up. And it's like, what are they thinking there? I'm trying to think about the thing. What was Ahaziah thinking? He was around when Elijah went up against 850 prophets of Baal 10 years before. He knew about the prophecies concerning his mother and father, Jezebel and Ahab. He knew that those prophecies came true. And Elijah was around the one that was prophesying those. He knew that all that came true. Now he says, here's what Elijah says. You go get that guy, and I don't know what they were going to do. Probably going to try to kill him and everything. What was the mindset? What was the thinking about that? You know, when reacting, you know, it's the different reactions to conviction. I mean, what in the world did they think when they did that? And people react differently to conviction in different ways. Here, of course, we see anger. And I'm assuming that Ahaziah wants to kill Elijah. And it's like this, you know what? If I do away with the prophet of God, and the world thinks this right here now, the world thinks the same way. If we do away with the preachers, if we do away with Jesus Christ, if we do away with prayer, if we do away with the Word of God, and listen now, other people, they say, if I don't go to church, if I quit reading my Bible, if I quit praying, if I quit getting around preaching, then nothing else, you know, then that'll take care of the problem. Really? That's what, you know, that's kind of like what they're thinking. It's like the old ostrich. He's going to stick his head in the sand and nothing else can see him. You know how ostriches look, big old body sticking out of there. And the world's saying, you know, if I quit doing all these things because I'm getting convicted by the Word of God, if I quit getting around where I'm going to get convicted, then that'll make everything all right. It'll be all right. You know, isn't that a crazy thought? I won't die. Ahaziah thought, well, I'm going to go ahead and kill off Elijah who gave out the Word of God and said I'll kill him off and then I won't die. Listen, it sounds so crazy and silly, but that's what a lot of people do. When they get convicted by the Word of God, they think, man, I'm just going to get away from where I get convicted and that'll make everything all right. Then I'll be good. I'll be okay. I'm not getting convicted, by the Word of God. Do you really think that if you reject God and ignore God, that eternity is going to change? Do you really think that's going to happen? You know, when you think about it, what is conviction designed to do? Is it designed to push you away from God or draw you closer to God? It's really designed to draw you closer to God. It is. It's trying to get you to say, listen, this is what's wrong. And the world is so, I tell you, man, we live in a wimpy world. It's a wimpy world. You can't, if anybody gets offended, they get offended at everything. Everything under the sun, they get offended at. If you say anything that makes them feel uncomfortable, it's an offense, and then they make a law to condemn you from doing that. Amen. When you get uncomfortable about how you're living, that's conviction from God. Amen. It's not designed to make you feel bad in a permanent way. It is designed to make you feel bad so that you quit doing. Listen, if I keep sticking my finger on the stove and it keeps burning, quit sticking it on there. How simple is that? You know, if you keep living a certain way and you get convicted about that, quit doing it. Simple. It's a simple solution. That's what conviction is designed to do. And it does one of the two things. Some people run away from God like that's going to change their destiny. That's going to change the outcome of everything. Or some people do repent, draw closer to God, you know, get their life to line up with the plumb bob there. But there does one of two things. There's no neutral ground. It does one of two things, either way. And the third thing that God does, God consumes sin. Ahaziah sent 51 men, and like I said, they called Elijah a man of God, and fire comes down, burns them up. 51 more, fire comes down, burns them up. You know, and I thought about that. I was thinking I was the third guy. I'd been pretty nervous myself. I'd probably been nervous on number two if I'd been that guy there. But some people are harder headed than others. And it seems like, boy, this is harsh. It seems harsh. It does, even in a way. And like I said, I mean, I know the character of God. I know how He protects His holiness and all that. But even when I first read it, I thought, man, boom, powerful. You know, it's just cut and dry. And I knew there was more to it. You know, because in the world we're living in, and even in Christianity today, you know, people say, well, you know, God is love, God is peace, God's all about forgiveness, right? I mean, man, this is like a stark contrast to that. 102 people. Drop of a hat, buddy, they're gone. So, the question naturally arises, why did God deal so severely with sin? And why will God deal so severely with our sin? I'll tell you right here, it is right here. I'm not a real complicated preacher. You know, I don't think I preach over anybody's head most of the time if you're staying awake. If you don't get any other thing out of this, get this right here. This is the one thing I want you to learn as to why God deals harshly with sin. When we sin, we defy God and dare Him to act. When we sin, we are defying God, and especially, listen, this was the Israelites, okay? They're God's children, especially Christian, you. When you sin, you are defying God, saying, God, I know it's wrong, but I don't care what's wrong. What are you going to do about it? Now, you're not saying that, but by your actions, that's what you're doing. You're defying God and you're daring God to act. They knew it was a prophet of God. They knew it was God's man. And He said, go down there and bring that guy in. They knew that he had went up against 850 prophets of Baal 10 years before. He knew that they slew all those guys. They knew the same fire that came down and consumed the altar and sacrifice could consume them. I don't care. Go ahead. I'm going to go up there and we're going to go ahead and get. And they went on there boldly, old bold face. We're going to lock you up. Nuh-uh. No. They said, just go ahead and what are you going to do about it, God? What are you going to do? See, you go out here and you get in your little sins. You say, what are you going to do about it, God? Huh? You ain't going to do nothing about it. Because what happens is people mistake the long-suffering and the grace of God for His condoning of their sin or else His inability to do anything about it to start with. Huh? I wouldn't be, if I was in sin, I wouldn't be climbing up on no upper chambers on the lattice anytime soon. Huh? Listen, that's what's going on. We're defying God and daring Him to act. The Bible says, and even in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Never presume upon the mercy and grace of God. Now, oh, God will just overlook it. God's love, He'll just overlook it. Everything will be all right. No, God's long-suffering. God does love you, but I'm going to tell you what, God protects His holiness. Huh? You can't, listen, Christian, you can't sin and get away with it. And the lost people aren't going to get away with it either. It's not going to happen. The Bible says your sins will find you out. And whether they find you out or not, you know, God will deal with it. Let's hear. There's another point there that goes with this. When we sin, God's reputation is at stake. When we sin, Christian, God's reputation is at stake. The Bible says our God is a jealous God. You know, and the question is this, see, with God and with us, and we're hard-headed, it's what's God, it's who's going to sit on the throne, us or God? I'll tell you who will win that battle every time. It's going to be God. See, it was what it came down to was this, it was Ahaziah and his servants against God and his servant. It was Ahaziah and his messengers. He had, we know at least he had 153 of them. He probably had more than that. It was Ahaziah and his servants against God and his servant Elijah. Who was going to win that battle? God. God was going to win. God consumed them with fire because one day all the world and all those who reject him will be consumed with fire. Listen, man, we're living in, like I said, such a wimpy world, and we don't want to face reality. You don't want to face truth, and we don't want to face the fact that there is a right and wrong, that, you know, that it's not all this neutral stuff, irrelevant things. You know, there's a right, a wrong. You know, there's a heaven, there's a hell. There's judgment, and there's grace, and those things, and there's, you know, and listen, there's a day of grace, and there's a day when grace ended, and Ahaziah had a day of grace on top of a day of grace because he had all those other years to turn back to God, and he didn't. Then he fell through a lattice and got injured, and he had a chance to turn back to God, and he still didn't do it, and he died. Died without God. But in this story of judgment, we see God's grace. That third captain of 50 with his 50 came and he fell on his knees. And in humility, he begged for his life. He even called himself thy servant. He told Elijah, he said, thy servant, called himself and those thy servant. And he begged for his life and he begged for the life of his men. And he acknowledged the man of God, that was a submission when he bowed and he acknowledged the power of God. And you know what? If Ahaziah and all those other men had approached Elijah, and Elijah represented God, he wasn't God, but he represented God, God's word, what, you know, thus saith, they didn't have the Bible in those days, thus saith the Lord, whatever the prophet said. If they had approached him with humility and repented, you know, they'd have been spared too. And the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, go with them. Everything's going to be all right. He said, you go ahead and go with this group right here. And Elijah gave the king the message. You know, the wages of sin is death. And one day, the whole unrepentant world will experience the fire of God's wrath. I mean, that's just the way it is. You can ignore it. You can reject it. It doesn't change the outcome. People do it with doctors all the time. You know, they said, well, I don't want to go to the doctor. They got an ache, a pain. They feel like something's wrong with them. Well, I'm not going to go to the doctor and find out what it is and everything will be all right. I'll be better if I don't find out what it is. And that's the philosophy behind the same thing. Listen, if I got it, I want to go find out what it is so we can work on it. Let's take care of it. But that's just, I'm going to ignore God, reject God, get away from God. I'm just not going to pay any attention to it. Listen, that's not going to change. And there's the word, listen, God confronts sin, he judges sin, and every time we sin, listen, we're challenging God, daring God to do something about it. And man, we need to come like this last group and bow humbly before God and ask for mercy, ask for grace. We're still living in a day of grace. The whole world's living in a day of grace until the Lord returns. But I'll say this to you, within that big day of grace, I think there's a day of grace for each individual person. And I think that somewhere along, while even though we're in the major day of grace as a big period, I think there's people living today that have rejected God and rejected God and rejected God to the point that God will never deal with them again. And their day of grace is over with. I don't know who they are. I don't know how long it is. I don't know that. I just believe there is. You know, today's the day of grace. You know, God's going to deal with sin. But, you know, we can deal with it today ourselves If we judge ourselves, the Bible talks about that. Judge yourself. Confess to God. Ask for forgiveness. Listen, He's in the forgiving business still today. But one day that day will be over. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. God spoke to your heart this morning.